eating scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We've got a jam-packed show today, not just for movies, because actually the movies are a little light.
Yeah, they're heavy. A week after Thanksgiving, nothing really happens so much.
They're heavy movies. It's light on big movies, but they're heavy movies because they're dark and depressing.
Now that you've confused everyone,
you're all confused.
Let's talk about some stuff.
But there's also a ton of news, some sad, some interesting stuff. We're going to be talking about Out of the Furnace in terms of the movies. Out of the Furnace, Nebraska, Inside Llewyn Davis. We've got some news. We've got a listener email. We've got DVDs and Blu-rays. But before that, let's go through the paperwork here. If you want to get a hold of us, you can go to fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. Send us an email. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can visit us on the web at fatguysatthemovies.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. If you want me on Twitter, you can find me on twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the news. The first one, obviously, everyone's heard of this because this is about a week old. Paul Walker from the Fast and Furious franchise died in a fire explosion in Los Angeles last week. Like I said, this is old news. A lot of people knew this. We're just kind of talking about it, giving a little bit of our thoughts on it. Obviously said he was 40 years old.
Yeah, I still honestly can't believe it.
We
were just talking about that. You know, before, when I first heard it, I honestly thought it was a hoax. It's one of those things that it just sounds a little too ironic.
Yeah. And what's weird about it is Fast and Furious 6 is coming out on Blu-ray and DVD next week, which makes it very odd to watch it and get excited to see him zipping cars around and driving, even though he wasn't driving.
It's kind of bittersweet. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's sad. And at least at this time, they don't know exactly what happens. Because they actually had some traffic cameras, but you really don't see anything.
Right.
You can just kind of see an explosion happen. They say speed was a factor. Part of the problem is that you had this Porsche, and Porsche just go very fast. But they're also tin cans. They're very, very small cars. Mm-hmm. And they're not braced up like race cars.
And apparently the one that they were in is notoriously tricky to drive.
Yeah. And it's been known somebody else died in one of them. There's another famous person, it was a notable crash that killed somebody. And they did say speed was possibly a factor in it. They were coming around a corner, and they don't know if they lost control, if he was speeding as he was coming around the corner. They estimate, the zone was 45 miles an hour, because they actually plowed through a speed limit sign.
Right.
But they were thinking they were coming around a corner, which should have been going 10 or 15. Maybe they were taking the corner too fast, lost control of the car. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame. But what it's done is it's kind of thrown the whole Fast and Furious franchise.
Well, especially because with Fast and Furious 7, they had fast-tracked this thing. And they were planning on finishing it and cranking it out and putting it out in July of next year.
2014. And we're ending up with the fact that he didn't shoot half. He shot a lot.
Right.
A lot of the movie shot, but there's
halfway through.
Still a lot more to shoot. And it's never a good time for, an actor to die like this. But it's not like it was at the beginning or it wasn't at the tail end and they just had one shot to do.
Right.
It's kind of thrown it all. And plus, you've got the entire cast and crew who have to have time to grieve.
Right.
Because a lot of them are friends. Vin Diesel.
Well, they've been working together for this many movies.
Yeah.
So they all know each other really well.
Yep. So you're not going to have everybody in their A game. I imagine that there's also, because it's a car movie, there's going to be some bittersweet moments in the car. There's going to be awkward moments if they're doing stunts and that sort of thing. So there's a lot up in the air. And officially, Universal has put it on indefinite hold right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just got to figure out what to do.
Well, yeah. What do you do from here?
Yeah.
I
mean, the one option is to scrap the production completely and start over, which they could from a monetary standpoint, not to go money over death.
Well, yeah. But because of insurance.
They have it covered.
Right.
But, do they write his character out? Do they recast? There was talks of digitally putting his face on
right
another body, which I think would be
seems a little strange,
crass and ghoulish. But yeah, so these are some things that are happening, and this is going to be developing. And here's my prediction: what's going to end up happening is they're going to use portions of the stuff that's already shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like stunts and sequences and stuff with other characters, whatever they can, rewrite him out of it. And then it's going to come out in 2015.
Let him go happily into the sunset somewhere else that he goes away with his family and
I don't think
lives
he's,
happily ever after.
I don't think they're going to kill him off in the franchise.
They can't.
Because it's just going to be all about that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be cutting too close to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give him a nice send-off, but they'll eventually get it together, and it'll come out in 2015.
Yeah.
With everything
like
else.
Everything else.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that sort of dovetails into the Fast and Furious news, which has nothing to do with Paul Walker. Shame to see him go. But Gal Gadot was chosen, who she, of course, is the ridiculously skinny Israeli girl.
Yes.
Who is in the Fast and Furious franchise.
The last couple of them, yeah.
She was chosen to be Wonder Woman in Batman versus Superman, which is an interesting choice. What do you think?
I do think it's interesting because she's not really a well-known actress.
True.
I think it's interesting that they're going to put her in here, which... That can go either way. I think it can be a great thing because they'll put somebody in and it's more about the character than about the actress.
Yeah.
I like that. I think it could be kind of fun.
Really?
I love that Wonder Woman is going to be in the movie.
I think that's good.
I think it's time to bring her back.
We don't know how much she's going to be in.
No.
But
it could build into something else.
Here's
and
my
I think
problem.
That's probably what they're going to do with it.
She's beautiful. She's a gorgeous woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's also about 48 pounds. I mean, she is extremely scrawny.
But she also competed for Miss Universe in 2004 and served 2 years in the Israeli army.
Oh, I'm not saying that I want to go.
So,
I don't want to do hand-to-hand combat with her in a back alley. I'm sure she kicked my butt. But I also
is about apparently, what, 1/6 of your weight?
Well, yeah, but like Bruce Lee was very thin and small. But when I think of a lot of people, and this has been a big criticism by fanboys and everything, mm-hmm. when you think Wonder Woman, you think Amazon, big.
It's true, yeah.
Imposing woman, Lucy Lawless. Linda Carter was the iconic Wonder Woman because she was, even though she wasn't necessarily like super fit,
mm-hmm.
she was an imposing woman.
Yeah.
And she had curves. Gal Gadot does not.
She's true.
And this is why. I remember seeing, I think it was Fast and Furious 5 was the first one she was in.
Right.
Or Fast 5.
Fast 5.
And I saw that, I'm like, oh my, eat a sandwich, woman. Can we get craft services? She looked like she was dying. She looked like she was starving.
Yeah.
I mean, you had these like starving kids from like the third world giving her bread and going, eat this. You look like you could put on some pounds. That's my problem with it. And if I could go back in time, I'd pluck Lucy Lawless out of the 90s and cast her as Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
I think it's a gamble. They're rolling the dice on this because DC has recast before. They recast Maggie Gyllenhaal for Katie Holmes
mm-hmm.
in the Batman series.
Mm-hmm.
If she sucks in this Batman versus Superman, and I don't think she's that great of an actor either. That's the other thing. I haven't seen her do much.
Well, no.
Just stand there and look pretty in the Fast and Furious
and
movies.
Skinny, apparently.
Very skinny. Even my wife pulls up a picture and she's like, are you kidding me? Her hand can wrap around her own arm. And this is different than like Christian Bale. I saw somebody put a picture of Christian Bale from The Machinist.
Nice.
Where he's like 72 pounds. And then I say, oh, and then he did, you know, like several years later, he did Batman. Because I'm like, well, first of all, he lost that weight to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what he naturally looked like. And that's kind of what she naturally looks like.
I am cautiously optimistic for her.
I'm
rooting for her.
I'm hoping that they cast DJ Qualls as Hercules in a movie because I think that, to me, fits as well as this does. I've heard the criticism of this that it's like, well, that's misogynistic and sexist, that they don't need to be, it shouldn't be about body issue. And I'm like, well, no, it is because you would not cast, in 1978 when they made Superman, they did not cast Paul Williams. They cast Christopher Reeve because
mm-hmm.
he looked more, Henry Cavill, same thing. They did not cast Danny DeVito. With that thought, we got to go to a break.
Yes, we do.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about more news and, Inside Llewellyn Davis? Llewellyn Davis? And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
We have one other piece of news that I think is rather interesting to throw out there because the general, what are our rules for news? We had to talk about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Marvel.
Yep.
And generally 50 Shades of Grey.
And Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. We haven't had a Dumb and Dumber. We have not had a Dumb and Dumber update lately. The news we have today is for Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yes.
50 Shades of Grey is obviously this erotic fiction. Started out as Twilight.
Is that what it is?
Because
I haven't heard much about it at all.
You've heard about it. It maybe has a little bit of sex in it. Anyway, it's horny housewives all over the place are going gaga and ripping off their panties to read 50 Shades of Grey. The big discussion was, what's it going to be rated? You know, how graphic is it going to be? And we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
We have. We've been talking about it for a very long time.
Well, and my question being is, I'm like, if you look at, in terms of filmed entertainment, just if you look at just in general, women versus men like the film, then they want to see it all. Women tend to like the romance, to read it, or it's a little more subtle. Mm-hmm. That tends to be the trend that is exhibited. And even a movie like, say, Magic Mike, which used a lot of eye candy.
Yes, but it was not graphic at all.
It wasn't. It was dancing. No. It was just like, let's watch Matthew McConaughey with his leather chaps and everything. And so there's a producer on 50 Shades of Grey, and he came out and has said, now this is not true. This is not necessarily what's happening, but he has suggested that there would be two versions of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming either both released simultaneously or released one.
Well, what he was
later.
Saying was, put the rated R version out first, and then a few weeks later, put out the NC-17 version so
the
that
version you couldn't see in the
people
theaters.
Can come back again and watch it again.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea. I think it would be more interesting to release them both at the same time
to see which one does better.
That, and part of the reason why NC-17 ratings are so damaging to movies, why so many movies don't want that, is because a lot of local advertising venues, like mostly newspapers, which who reads those anymore? But those newspapers, television, that sort of thing, they won't air ads for NC-17 movies.
Right, and there are a lot of theaters that won't run them.
Yeah.
So
I think what would be more interesting is they go see 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, no, we're advertising the R-rated version. Rated R, but then some might not be. You know, and then just have them as like exclusive engagements in the smaller theaters that smell a little weird, because that's the theaters that tend to show them. You've been to those theaters.
I have.
They smell weird. We got one in town. If we're going to see
it, I don't know if it smells weird for that reason, but well, it does smell a little weird.
I didn't attribute reason for it.
I don't know.
I just said it smells weird. There's one in Cleveland. There's a couple. There's really nice. They're cool old theaters, but they're old. So they
and
have
apparently
a little bit,
they smell kind of funky.
They have a damp problem.
Their seats are a little uncomfortable, and they have stains on their screens.
Yeah, that happened.
Stuff like that, yeah.
We're not giving a reason. It's just they are. How do you get stains on screens?
I don't know. I guess, you know, we've had it a few times that I remember a few years ago that there was one movie that one of the critics got so angry that he threw his Coke at the screen afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
Which movie was that?
It was one of the Night at the Museum movies.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was a lot of Coke left in it, but he was kind of mad.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Somebody has a control problem.
anger management issues.
But yeah, I've seen those where you see this giant stain, and that's what they look like.
Yeah, big splotch right across the screen.
Wow.
Which really has nothing to do with anything right now. So shall we move on?
We shall move on. Anyways, you probably can see 50 Shades of Grey, the raunchy, sexy version.
It could happen.
As well as the less raunchy and less sexy version. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr, Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Up next, we're going to be talking about, this movie was in limited release, or is it opening now?
It's still in limited release.
It's just in limited, and it's sort of eking out.
It's expanding later, yes.
Yeah. But we wanted to cover it this week.
Yes, it's Inside Llewyn Davis. In the Coen Brothers musical drama, a young folk singer struggles to make ends meet in 1960s New York.
So, I can't stay here tonight.
If I had wings, I'd know where to stop.
What'd you say you played?
Folk songs.
Folk songs. Solo act?
No, I had a partner.
Threw himself off the George Washington Bridge.
George Washington Bridge? You throw yourself off the Brooklyn Bridge, traditionally. George Washington Bridge. Who does that?
You know, this is the year. There's several themes going on this year.
This is the year.
In movies.
You know, it is interesting how every year we seem to have a theme. So what are you guessing this year's theme is?
Well, one of the themes is white people are horrible.
It's true.
And we saw that in The Butler and in, 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
And even like 42, you know, Alan Tudyk.
It's true.
You know. So that's a theme, that white people have been horrible and they're horrible now and they've been horrible through history. But there's also a theme of roaming bohemians. You had that with Francis Ha.
Yeah.
And, you know, Llewyn Davis is very much like that.
He is a wandering bohemian. Yes, yeah. That is true. And it's interesting because you never know what you're going to get with a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
They are all over the place. You can have Fargo or you can have Inside Llewyn Davis. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And yeah, in this one, not much happens.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, but see, this
he
is
wanders.
What
he's a bohemian.
This is what I respect about them is they can have a movie that's kind of about nothing.
Yeah.
And it's still compelling to watch. See, for
me, I wasn't quite that compelled.
Well, this is the thing. I remember walking through a theater sometime before we saw this. And I was with Ed Douglas from ComingSoon.net, and he's a big music fan, and he pointed out the Llewyn Davis poster. He's like, I can't wait for that. And I'm like, oh, that's about folk music. Just like, ah, because I'm not a big music guy. And I kind of rolled my eyes at it. So I was expecting to be bored to tears, but I'm watching this, and I'm like, it's really not about folk music.
No.
It's more about this guy kind of trying and consistently failing to get his, you know what together.
It's true, and it's kind of just sad because he's kind of a jerk. I mean, this guy burns bridges everywhere he goes. He takes advantage of people. He has absolutely no accountability for his actions, and he just keeps, you know, moving on to the next thing. And I guess my challenge is that he doesn't grow or change in any way through this movie. I mean, literally, the end of the movie is the same as the beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, this character goes nowhere.
I don't think it's about the character change. I don't think it's about his change. It's about his view of how things. I think from the beginning to the end of the movie, his view of what's happening around him changes rather than him as a character, which I think is probably more real in terms of character development in most people. That is, people generally don't change. They just become aware of what happens in their surroundings.
Okay.
And I liked it. I thought there's so many weird quirkiness to this movie that I appreciate. And it's very Coen Brothers. There's a fantastic bit with John Goodman.
Honestly, for me, that was the quirkiest part of the movie. And other than that, it just didn't feel very Coen Brothers to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, totally felt to me. I mean, It felt weird in the sense that it was existing in this bizarre world and this bizarre subculture that seemed very hyper real at times and I guess lowerly real, not quite real.
I guess for me, the big thing in this movie is the music. I mean, the music is spectacular. Even if you don't like folk music or you don't like music at all, like Kevin, it's great music.
Yep.
And I mean, Justin Timberlake singing folk music, you can't go wrong there.
Final grade?
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
I say it kind of rocks. And we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking Out of the Furnace in Nebraska.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Well, let's roll into the next movie. This is actually the only wide release of the week.
Right, yes.
Actually came out on Wednesday, very limited, and then 2 days later, it expands. Don't really know what the point of that was.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But anyways, it is out now, and it is Out of the Furnace. Two blue-collar brothers struggle with life decisions that involved illegal fighting, working at a dangerous mill, and prison.
Come work at the mill. Nothing wrong with working for a living.
Working for a living? I gave my life for this country. But what's it done for me? Huh? What's it done for me?
I'm gonna do this one last fight, and then I'll be done.
Showtime.
It's a whole nother world up in there. The only breed of justice in it does not include us.
Doesn't that sound like an uplifting film?
Well, you know what's funny is this was a very hard film to explain what it's about.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first half of it,
nothing.
Not a whole lot happens.
Just, it builds for the first at least half. I mean, really, the action doesn't begin for the until the last maybe half hour of the movie. That's about it. I mean, this movie spends like 45 minutes just kind of building the character and telling you how awesome he is. He's the nicest guy in the world. Christian Bale's character.
I don't know if they.
He loves his dad. He is a hardworking guy. He really cares about his brother, and he'll do anything he can to bail him out.
See, here's this is my takeaway.
Okay.
Not that he's the nicest guy. It's that he may be the nicest guy on the mountain because he's not on meth. And that's what makes him such a nice guy.
Except the mountain is like 5 hours away.
Yeah, I don't know. The mountain where the crazy people are on the mountain.
Yeah.
Is miles away.
But this mountain. Okay.
The round the mountain is still kind of on the mountain. I got family that live in the mountains.
So confusing, this movie.
It's one of these movies that is very.
I've got a lot of words. What's your word?
It's a slow burn. It's a slow burn.
It is definitely,
and it is not
burn.
My kind of movie at all. But no. I got to tell you, I really liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, and it's weird because I wouldn't expect to. I would have expected this to be just the most boring. As I've heard about it, I saw the trailer for it. I was like, oh, this is gonna be boring. But I thought the cast was really good.
I thought it was shot beautifully.
I would rather have a movie kind of go nowhere for an hour and then the last half go somewhere than to have the first half be really good and then go nowhere for the second hour.
For me, I didn't buy it. You know where this story is heading, but it just didn't work for me. I mean, they spend so much time developing this character in this way that his actions in the end, to me, just didn't fit with his actions in the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think you reached a breaking point. For me, I thought it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's not my favorite. It's not my kind of movie.
Yeah.
It's not the thing that I stampede to. But
I agree that the cast is great. You know, Woody Harrelson. I mean, who else would you cast to play crazy and dangerous? No. Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, he works.
You know, he's great. Christian Bale, sometimes he seemed a little bit crazy to me, but other than that, he gives a really good performance with, you know.
That could be just Christian Bale.
I think it probably is.
He's a little bit crazy.
He is a little bit crazy. But I think he does a really good job with what he has. I mean, this movie is about his character, and he handles it really well.
Yeah. I think that it's very well acted across the board from a lot of the actors, but all the actors seem to have another movie that people are going to focus on. You know, Christian Bale's in American Hustle. He's getting a lot more notice on that.
Yep.
And that's not even out yet. You know, you've got Woody Harrelson, I think, is going to be remembered more for Hunger Games, even though this is a heavier acting challenge for him.
Right.
I think it's going to get lost, even though my final grade is, it kind of rocks.
I like the cast. It just wasn't enough for me. I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
All right, there you go. Well, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kirsten Dreyer Kramer. What do we got coming up next?
Up next, we have Nebraska. Director Alexander Payne sends Bruce Dern and Will Forte on a road trip to claim a $1 million sweepstakes prize.
So you told the sheriff that you were walking to Nebraska.
That's right. To get my $1 million. We are now authorized to pay $1 million to Woodrow T. Grant of Billings, Montana.
You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam. So you got to stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
You should have thought about that years ago and worked for it.
How much longer is he going to be around? What's the harm in letting him have his little fantasy for just a couple more days?
We've got lots of aimless movies this week.
This is sort of like the white trash weekend at the movies. Yeah, out of the front. Well, I don't know. Inside Llewyn Davis is the Wandering Bohemians.
Yeah.
But,
and I wouldn't necessarily call the characters in Nebraska, at least not the main characters.
There's some white trash in that movie.
There is a lot of white trash in this movie, but not the main characters. No. They're okay. But they're just kind of sad and pathetic.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, what a depressing show this week.
I think, here's the thing with Nebraska. I think it's a well-composed movie, and I think Will Forte does a better job at sort of surprising in his acting performance than Bruce Dern does. Bruce Dern plays a crazy old coot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of easy to do when you're Bruce Stern age.
It's true. You know, it's one of those things that people are talking about how awesome he is. I'm like, yeah, he's all right.
This is my impression of Bruce Stern through all the movies. Through this entire movie, he's like, ah.
Exactly.
That's his entire.
That is exactly it.
All of his dialogue.
You win an Oscar.
Ah. And crazy hair too.
Seriously, you know, I know that there is a sweet, charming story in this movie somewhere, and it kind of pops through a little bit in the end.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's an interesting movie that, you know, you could be finding this sweet, bonding father-son kind of adventure. But then suddenly in the middle, it goes completely off the rails. It goes into their old hometown, which is filled. Seriously, the average age in this town is like 85.
Well, yeah.
There is no one under, well, there are two crazy cousins, but other than that, there is no one under like 70 in this entire town. And they're all crazy or kind of slow. Seriously, this movie is kind of like a 2-hour trip to an all-you-can-eat buffet in Florida.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll tell you, though, the thing with this, the one thing that my big complaint on it is it does reek of Alexander Payne just looking down on anybody who does not live in a big city on a coast.
Yes.
It's very much like, you stupid people in the Midwest believing your sweepstakes entries and buying trucks with extended cabs. I mean, that's kind
of... It is, you know, everybody in this movie is sad and pathetic and stupid and naive.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And it's kind of depressing.
It is.
And in that sense, I you know, because even something like... Alexander Payne's never been a warm and fuzzy director.
No, but he's done beautiful films that are moving and...
Well, and even when he has characters that are idiots, there's a little bit of depth to him. About Schmidt is about a shallow person.
Yes, it's
who
true.
Who finds some depth.
Right.
Same thing with The Descendants. The Descendants, and that's maybe the writing behind it too, but The Descendants... Even though everybody has a degree of nastiness to them, there is a certain, at the end, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, they're kind of mean, but they kind of
belong
together.
I love them anyway. Yeah.
This movie does not quite have that. And it does feel like he's getting farther and farther away from major cities. And so now he's gotten so far into the Midwest that he's in the middle of nothing. And you could just see the disdain. It's kind of like when we watched Paradise. That Diablo Cody movie, which is like stupid people who aren't from like big cities, dumb, stupid people who believe in God, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah, it is kind of sad and really depressing and kind of irritating. How's that for an uplifting depiction of this film?
It's not. I mean, I think Bruce Stern will probably get a smattering of nominations here and there, but I think the praise for this is going to be somewhat short lived.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny, this film has a ton of buzz, but
it's doing one of those, it is doing a release that's eking out.
Mm-hmm.
Some movies, they get this and they get the buzz and then they kind of start to ride it.
Right.
This is one of those movies I think got all its buzz before it was
released. Definitely.
It was during festivals, festival run and that sort of thing. And that can be a very dangerous game to play during award season.
Yes.
Because if you start your buzz too early and then it doesn't click with an audience, it just fizzles and vaporizes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening here.
That's true. So what's your final grade?
I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
No minus?
Hmm.
Ah! I'm going to say kind of rocks, just barely. Okay. All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, DVDs and listener email.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Ah!
Let's talk about something happy, shall we?
Sure.
Something fun, because, it has been a depressing show.
Yes. Well, I guess this is... Well, I mean, it's happy because we got feedback from a listener.
That's always happy.
It can maybe dovetail into some creepy, weird stuff. Because it's from Chris from Kansas City.
Hi, Chris.
Who sent us the email a couple weeks ago about, let's just say...
Strange things that happen in movie theaters.
Sexcapades happening during Thor.
Chris comes up with great topics. Yes. Thank you, Chris.
Chris has an email. Here's his email. He goes, I was just wondering if there has ever been a film that has changed the way you live your everyday lives. For example, for me, Jaws has forever scarred me when it comes to swimming. I think about that every time I get into a body of water, and I can never enjoy myself. Thank you, Chris from Kansas City, which he points out is not in Canada. Did I say I thought it was Canada?
I think, yeah, you may have said that it was in Quebec, perhaps.
That's right. I saw KC, and I'm like, "What? Where's that?" Because generally people who aren't from Kansas City don't... Yeah, I don't. I never abbreviate Kansas City as KC.
I would, actually.
I'm KC.
That's true.
That's what I abbreviate. Anyways, first of all, I question the phrasing of this. I'm going to pick on Chris here for a minute.
Oh.
Because he says that it changes your everyday life, and he says Jaws scarred him, but how often does he swim every day? See?
It's not necessarily every day, as in every day, but every day, like your common life.
Exact words, Marcia. But no,
I'm the grammarian around here, okay? Let me run with this.
Okay. I think it's interesting.
You're welcome, Chris.
I think it's interesting because the Jaws reference, when I was a little kid and I saw it, and I mean like when I was like 10,
mm-hmm.
I was terrified to go in the pool from Jaws. And now I know it's completely ludicrous. It just makes no sense. But as a kid, now as an adult, I wouldn't do it. But I'm nervous of shark attacks. I've swum in the ocean, swam in the
ocean.
It
is one of those interesting things when you go in the ocean. You can't help but think about Jaws
mm-hmm.
whenever you go in the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't help it.
Especially if you're around an area that tends to have sharks.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a shark in the ocean once in Florida.
Nice.
Kind of freaked me out. I was with a friend of mine, and he was waiting in the back, and I see this fin go right behind him.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to the beach. So, anyways, I don't know. I was racking my brain. I don't know if there's anything. I don't think there's anything that's made me like change the way I live.
I know that there have been a lot of movies that wanted you to change the way that you live, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. And I think a lot of things are more in the short term for me.
Mm.
You know, I think we've talked before about my experience with Insidious. And after I saw it, when we were building our house, there was a little man who walked across the doorway in our house when I was walking through the house, and I actually screamed because I saw this little person. I thought of the little kid in Insidious.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't do that anymore now, but I had just seen it. So,
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily
like affect you for a little while.
I think like a movie like Blackfish, for example, which is the movie about the killer whale.
Right.
And SeaWorld and their questionable practices. I think that some people that can affect.
Well, yeah, I think with documentaries, that's the idea is to change your awareness. Yeah. And I think a lot of them are effective in that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of if you talk about sweeping changes, I mean, you got stuff like Food Inc. and Forks mm-hmm. Over Knives and GMO OMG.
You know, after we saw, I'm trying to remember which one it was after we saw that. After that, I was there with another critic. I was like, okay, that's it. We're going to McDonald's for lunch. And we did. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, like something like Super Size Me only made me want a Big Mac even more.
It's true.
But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if there's anything that's really changed my, like affected me in that way. That's changed the way I do things.
I think there are a lot of films that have changed the way that I think about films.
I think things have scarred me for life. I mean, the sex scene between Grace Jones and Roger Moore in A View to a Kill. I saw that when I was like 13, and that's, I was like in puberty at that time, and heavens to Betsy, I don't know what happened.
Oof.
It's like, it's weird. Wrinkly old dude and crazy woman with like teeth bearing and everything.
Yeah.
She growled in that. Did you know that?
She probably did. It wouldn't surprise
me. Growled. But it'd be even worse if it was like you watched. Now, I mean, you could take it now and you could take like, who's the, it was Bridget Nielsen and
Flava
Flav. I mean, I don't want to see that. That would scar me and I'm in my 40s. So, yeah, no, unfortunately, no, Chris. I mean, aside from being terrified of the high dive board at the swimming pool when I was a kid, I don't think anything's really affected me that
I'm pretty sure you could see if there were sharks in the pool.
Doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Sharks are sneaky, sneaky creatures. All right. Well, if you have a question, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysinthemovies.com, or you can give us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. Let's move on. Next segment we have is the what we like to refer to as the world famous.
Are
Did
we,
I switch that around?
Yeah. Are we going to talk
no,
about
we're
the
not.
Box office
we're
first?
We're going to do box office first.
I'm so confused.
Anyways, box office. Let's talk about what happened. Last week I said, I think I said $60 million for Frozen.
I don't remember.
I wouldn't commit to whether that was the 3-day spread or the 5-day spread. You said $1.004 billion for Catching Fire.
Something like that, yeah.
You're a little off.
I was a little off on the number, but I still had the movie, right?
Although you might have the final total at some point.
I probably could, yes.
But Catching Fire made $74 million over the weekend. Frozen made $67 million, which is really good.
It is not too shabby.
It is really good. And it totaled $94 million. I forget how much it was before.
And both of those movies together contributed to a record-breaking Thanksgiving weekend.
That's right. Huge, huge numbers. Mm-hmm. And Thor, The Dark World, then was way third with $11 million for the 3-day spread. It's at $187 million. It's not as, it's a little, I think it's going to make more money than the first one, but still. And overseas, it's doing well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is interesting to note because you got Frozen and Thor, even though Hunger Games is in there, that's helping to contribute to Disney has made how much this year?
$4 billion.
$4
billion. Yes. That is a lot of money. It's a record-breaking number for them.
Kind of makes you look at movies like The Lone Ranger and say, they can take that loss.
Well, and that's what I thought. The first thing I thought when I saw that, I was like, well, I guess The Lone Ranger wasn't that bad after all.
Well, it's kind of like last year.
They're okay.
Last year when they had John Carter, which was a big bust for them, but then they had Avengers, which made $4 billion on its own.
Disney can balance things out quite well.
Disney is doing fine.
Yeah.
I remember I did an interview on I think the Wall Street Journal when Lone Ranger came out, and they're like, oh, it's not doing well. I go, you don't need to have a bake sale for Disney right now. They're going to be fine.
Yeah. No worries about Disney.
Yeah. So, and then it kind of rattles down. Their home front only made $6.9 million for the 3-day spread and just under $10 million for the 5-day. And then you have Black Nativity at 3.4 and 4.8 for the wide. Old Boy only made $885,000. In 538 theaters, which isn't a ton of theaters, but it's also didn't do very well on its own. That's worse than the Christmas Candle from the previous week.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah. And then the Christmas Candle made $387,000. It's at about $1.5 million.
Which isn't bad, really.
Not bad for like just a nothing little film.
Yes.
I mean, you got like 3 more weeks and then no one's going to see it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is going to win this weekend?
I'm going to stick with Catching Fire.
I'm going to say Catching Fire, too. What's your number?
I'll give it 45.
I'm doing 35 million.
Okay.
45. All right. And let's move on. We only got a couple minutes left. Let's go
Can we do this now?
Move into the world famous
DVD roundup.
Yeah. Woo! There we go. I'm going to rattle through some of these. The Wolverine, the latest in the Hugh Jackman Marvel franchise. That is out on DVD and Blu-ray. It's not a bad movie.
There's not a ton to talk about this week, so it's easy to rattle through these.
There's also Smurfs 2, which is surprisingly better than the first one, but the first one was terrible.
Ugh.
Just remind you of that.
Let's not talk about that.
But yeah, that's out there. And Argo, the best picture from last year, got an extended edition on Blu-ray.
And why not?
Why not? Eh. And it seemed like a good idea at the time. I think it's probably dropping in the middle of December and nobody's really caring about it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think Argo's kind of had its run.
I think, yeah.
So there's also The Simpsons season 16, which is still like, they still got like 8 more seasons left.
Oh, yeah.
To catch up. That's how far behind they are in Simpsons. But that's on DVD and Blu-ray. A couple more I want to just highlight. The Octagon is on Blu-ray. That's the one with Chuck Norris. Awesomeness from the 80s.
Awesome.
All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. That one finally got released on theaters and in theaters and on DVD.
Despite the fact that it was made like 7 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's from the 1950s. Drinking Buddies. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep. Jake Johnson.
And Olivia Wilde. Mm-hmm. That is out as well. Now, another one I want to highlight is Infinite Santa 8000. If you want to get in the Christmas spirit, this is an animated thing. Reminds me of sort of like old school Adult Swim.
Nice.
And it's about, like, thousands of years after the apocalypse, human beings are gone. Everybody's cyborg type things. And Santa's a cyborg, and he has to fight and kill to survive. And he has to go find his helper, who's been kidnapped by, like, this weird rabid Easter bunny. It is a bizarre
movie. That sounds fascinating.
Lots of fun. Definitely check it out. You just search Infinite Santa 8000. There's not a whole lot of those out there. I don't think you can get it on, like, I don't think you can get it on iTunes yet.
Okay.
It's a pretty small release. The stinker is The Mortal Instruments City of Bones. because it's bad. Anyways, we got to go. Next week, we will be talking about The Hobbit.
Yes, we will.